G-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Usually, Ask D-Mace is Fridays at 5 o'clock, but Derek will be out tomorrow taking a long Labor Day weekend. Well-deserved, of course. So we did not want to deprive you of Ask D-Mace, so we moved it up one day ahead, I should say, so that you can all ask D-Mace whatever it is that you want at 615-737-1025. Call us, text us. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Derek is open to pretty much everything.
Absolutely.
I have not heard you turn down the opportunity to answer a question. At least not yet.
Not yet.
But I'm sort of testing the boundaries here. I'm trying to find the kinds of questions that may give Derek Mason pause. But let's start with Andrew from Dover on our text line. He says, D-Mace, if Cam Ward's first NFL touchdown is thrown to another rookie for their first NFL touchdown, who gets the ball?
Oh, wow. The quarter. That's a good one. That's really a good question.
Do they cut it in half?
Wow. I think Cam would give it to either DK or Helm or Io Manor, because that's who we're talking about, one of those three.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would turn around and try to give it to Cam. So flip a coin. I don't know. That's a good one, though. That's a tough one. Typically, the quarterback says give it to the receiver. So
let's go to Jim on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim, thank you for calling. Please go ahead. Jim, are you there?
This is Jim, originally from Kalamazoo, Michigan State fan.
Okay.
Here's my question. College football players are making so much money now with NIL deals. In a few years from now, they'll be making potentially tens of millions of dollars. Here's the question, and I'll hang up and listen. Is this going to make them less hungry to endure the pain and the difficulties and the hardships of the NFL? Or are they going to be less hungry since they're already rich than yesterday's players were?
Thanks, Jim.
That's a good question. It really is. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, when it comes to money, I know the psyche of an NFL player or a player in general. Guys and girls got to fight that when they get the money or the bag, whatever the kids call it. Do you still have that willingness to want more, wanting to do better? And sometimes we have seen guys, you know, get paid and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, their career just nosedive. But we have guys and girls that have gotten paid and got paid again because they continue to excel. Now, when it comes to college players, I just hope that they're educating them enough on this money. And it seems like they are with these universities. So will it make a college guy that is already getting millions less hungry when he gets in the NFL? If your goal is money, it could. But I think if you still have that purity of the sport, I don't care how much money they give you, you're still going to go out there, you're going to play it as if it's your last game. So I guess that's the dilemma that some of these players might find themselves in, or teams might find themselves in, because these young men and women are getting paid in college. How much more of an incentive is it going to be for them to really continue to work hard, you know, in the pros? It's like I be getting paid in college, so getting paid in the pros is the same. So, you know, I would love to see in about 5 years what happens, because the money's going to be a lot greater. And maybe you see more people, you know, not pursuing an NFL career or professional career because they're getting paid so much in college.
And Willie, you touched on this when we talked to Mitch Light earlier in the show. There was a report from Front Office Sports. College football players are expected to earn $1.9 billion in 2025, according to a new report from NIL data platform Open Doors. That's almost twice as much as the $1 billion college football players were estimated to have made last year. Total earnings for college football players have risen by an average of $202.33 million each of the past 3 years.
And I think the story is going to be different for different people. Mm-hmm. To go to the texter or the caller's question, it's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because I think some will fall into the traps. You know, I think the younger you are when you get that money, mm-hmm. the more apt you are and prone you are to fall into the traps. Where in the past, as a college kid, you were afforded the luxury of screwing up and not having it cost you as much, or you know, you have time to mature. Now I worry. You know, the story of the Georgia reckless drivers with all the sports cars, where one kid lost his life, and they've had a ridiculous amount of reckless driving. That to me is just sort of an example of when you screw up and you're in the Bullet, which was D-Mace's car in college, or the go-kart, which was my car in college. You know, you can't, those cars don't go very fast. You can't, you know, you're
exactly.
not going to do that. Right. But when you have a sports car and you can say, I make enough money to spend stupid money on a car. Like who really needs a car in college? No, you can get by without a car
in
college for 4 years. So these are the kind of things that I concern myself with that. And so the more money you have, some guys, it doesn't matter. Right. D-Mace, you play with plenty of people. It doesn't matter if you're making them $10 million or zero. It means everything to them. Other people are going to fall different places on that scale.
Let's go to Al on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Al, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. It's hard to follow such a very serious, tough question there, and that was a great question. But let me get to a more serious question. Again, this is Al in Franklin. I've got Derek all over past poster plastered all over my wall upstairs, my man cave. Willie, yes, it's green Gatorade. You remember. But anyway, let's address the serious elephant in the room. Derek Mason, mm-hmm. if you were to marry Taylor Swift, hold on,
okay.
would you sign a prenup, Derek Mason? So let's hear it, because, you know, I'm very uh-huh. serious about this.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. Yeah, I would sign one. I have no problem with signing one. If me marrying her, I have no problem signing one. Because my thing is, what you brought into relationship is yours. What I bring into the relationship is mine. What we do together is ours. So if you brought in $1 billion, you leaving with your money. I don't want your money, okay? And if I came in with my money, it ain't $1 billion, but you ain't touching my money. Anything that we make, like, we're going to put a pool together to pay the bills. So if it don't last, whatever money is in that bill money, that's what we split up. But other than that, you keep yours, I keep mine. That's the best way you keep things clean.
No arguments,
no nothing. You take what you came in with, I take what I came in with. Now, if y'all made it together, that's different. Split it down the middle, boom, do your thing. That's me.
I would love to get a gander at this prenup, if there is a prenup. I'm sure.
Oh, it's
going
so ironclad, boy! Oh, boy! It's so ironclad. It's pathetic.
Thick.
Man, oh man! It might just be one sheet. You get nothing if we divorce. That's what it may be.
Thank you for the call, Al. Okay, I want Willie's response to this as well. One texter says, "Which takes more athletic ability, professional golfer or baseball pitcher?"
Ooh, Willie, you may want to answer that one. What you think, Willie?
It's a pitcher.
No, more athleticism?
Athleticism. Look, we could debate from now until, you know, 2030 mm-hmm. on what is athleticism. The different people have different opinions. But I think it takes more how I define mm-hmm. athletic ability to be a pitcher, and it's not even close.
But does it? Okay. When you're thinking about the workout regimen, couldn't a pitcher and a golfer do the same thing? as far as working out? Outside of their arms, the motion of throwing a baseball and the motion of swinging a golf club, because neither one of them have to be in superior condition. You may want to be because of all the walking or the throwing of the pitches, but you don't need to run, you know, a mile in X amount of time and pass the test, I think, to be a pitcher or a golfer.
But for pitching, there is a little bit more of explosion, you have to be able to react off the mound. You do have to be able to, you know, field your position.
Exactly.
I just think there's more of that in baseball than golf. Golf is one of the highest skilled mentally, because I think the skill is about the same. It's an incredible skilled thing. You have to repeat your delivery in baseball over and over and over, same as a golf swing, right? The mental toughness of it is equal, I think, in both. The mental toughness on a golfer is 10 out of 10. Same with a pitcher. You have to have that. But I think the explosion and athleticism, there's a difference in a pitcher.
Let's go to Eric on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Eric, your dad joke and your question for Derek, please.
First of all, before I get to both of those, just want to say, Derek, I hope you enjoy your Labor Day holiday weekend.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I flipped over, guys, because I sometimes flip through station and I heard you on today, and I said, I'm glad I did that, because I would have flipped over tomorrow. And I was like, I missed it today, so I had to make sure I did that. Okay, here's my dad joke, and hopefully you will not have heard this one like you did last week. What did one wall say to the other wall?
What's up? No, I don't know.
No. Hey, I'll meet you at the corner.
Okay. That's a dad joke. I take it.
Okay. My D-Mate question is this, and Willie knows this. I grew up a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and there's still part of me that loves them. And when I found out, of course, a little while ago, that Michael Parsons had been traded, my heart just sank. And it's just Jerry Jones. It's just, I mean, I've heard four of the Cowboys, everybody tweeting. I know the fans are going to be mad at him. Of course, you're playing a week from tonight in Philadelphia. And, of course, I think, like a few weeks later, they actually host Green Bay in the Sunday night game. So you know Parsons is going to be motivated. But do you think now that Jerry Jones has kind of become like, I guess it was like Al Davis, because I'm not going to say that necessarily senile, but Al Davis made just a lot of wild and crazy moves and everything. And a lot of people feels like, and unfortunately feels like, that Jerry Jones is more interested in getting his name out there and rebounding and making money than it is about seriously winning. Because I know that frustrates them, especially what the Eagles have done, winning, I guess it's two Super Bowls in the last, whatever it's been 5, 6 years or whatever it is. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Guys, y'all take care. We'll talk again soon. Y'all and all of y'all have a great Labor Day holiday weekend.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Here's the deal with, I think, what's going on with Jerry. I don't think Jerry is senile by no means. If you listen to Jerry when he was doing that interview with Stephen A., Jerry is full aware of what's going on, and especially when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Whether you like Jerry or not, if you listen to that interview, you would understand what I'm saying. But I think what's happening with Jerry is this. I think that star, because they're not winning championships, it may mean everything when it comes to endorsements, you know, being a number one, you know, franchise and all that other stuff. But when it comes to players and winning championships, it doesn't mean that much anymore. Now do guys want to be a part of this whole hoopla, which is called the Dallas Cowboys, this circus, which is called the Dallas Cowboys? Didn't a couple years ago, guys were complaining about people coming into the building and always there, and they felt like they were, you know, pets at a zoo.
It was something about stadium tours,
yeah,
when the players were there.
Yeah, practice and stuff.
Training,
yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly. So that stuff, whereas it's great for Jerry and his business, but when you're talking about winning football games and keeping your players there, I think the star is starting to lose some of his shine, because Jerry seems to be, in their mind, putting the star above winning. back in the day when he was winning three championships, hey, okay, we can, let's do this. But when you haven't won a championship in over two decades, you haven't even been close to winning a championship over two decades, that star don't look the same anymore. That star, I don't care how big it is in Texas, outside of Texas, that star is not shining. You are not America's team anymore. You're trying to continue to keep them America's team, but you're not America's team anymore, Jerry. And that star doesn't have the shine that it used to, especially with players. Endorsements, companies, yeah, they want to be a part of it. Industry, they want to be a part of it. But players, they're like, man, you ain't won a damn champ. We ain't won a championship in over 20 years. We haven't even been close. So why am I here? I can go get paid somewhere else and be on a team that is serious about winning championships, not just talking about it.
615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace continues coming up next. If you have a question for Derek, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Football, life, prenups, whatever. You can ask Derek coming up next at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Ask D-Mace continues. Derek and I were just watching Martin Gramatica's son hit a 52-yard field goal at Raymond James Stadium, just Gramatica like his old foot. Man.
He got that foot.
Willie, as someone who
Did he have the celly?
He celebrate hard.
Yeah. Not like his dad. Because didn't his dad blow out his knee celebrate?
Yeah. Well, yes. Was that his brother?
It was one of them.
There were two Gramaticas. One of them did blow out their knee, but they both had a great celebration, mm-hmm. right?
Willie, I just have to say, since you lived in Florida, it bothers me to no end that the University of South Florida is based in Tampa, which is not in South Florida. It's in Central Florida.
I'm surprised you never brought this up, Will.
There is a University of Central Florida, which I want to say is like in the Orlando-ish area.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in Orlando, yeah.
But the University of South Florida in Tampa.
I turned down a scholarship. I could have gone to UCF. I could have been a Golden Knight, yeah.
But yes, it bothers me. My in-laws live in the Tampa area, and it bothers me that the University of South Florida is in Tampa, which is not in South Florida. It's geographically incorrect.
Semantics, yes. Man.
And it's really not close. It's in Tampa.
It ain't even close to South Florida.
Okay, here's a good question from Matthew in Nashville on our text line. Again, if you want to ask Derek a question, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Matthew says, do you think Chris Sanders has some sort of secret disliking of Ohio State? Can't believe he's picked against them twice in the last year for silly underdog picks. What happened to the man who used to go big or go home? I half expected him to pick Marshall to upset Georgia. They are a 39.5-point underdog to Georgia. They probably won't win, but don't sleep on Marshall because they have a history of beating top 10 teams in recent years. But let's just answer the first question, Derek Mason. Do you think Chris Sanders has some sort of secret disliking of his alma mater?
Did they take away his diploma or something?
After what he did last year.
Did they take away his Buckeyes off his helmet? Did they send him a letter saying, can you please FedEx us our Buckeyes back on your dime, not ours? So, I mean, I don't know why Chris has this disdain for the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's almost like he had this dual personality. You know, it's like he loves them 1 week, he hates them 1 week, but then he calls them the Ohio State Buckeyes the next week. Which one is it, Chris? Do you hate them? Do you love them? What did they do to you, man? Goodness. They do Joey Galloway to football a little bit more than you, you know? Was your high top not as big as Joey's, as tall as Joey Galloway's?
And the thing is, last season when he picked Michigan to beat Ohio State, Michigan was a huge underdog.
Yes.
What's the spread for this game, Willie? 1.5?
Yes.
I cannot explain it, but as I said at the top of the show, Chris Sanders tried to politic his way into changing his pick by texting me last night after the show. And I said, no, Chris Sanders. I maintain the integrity of silly underdog picks, mm-hmm. which is a phrase I borrowed. Sidebar here for a moment. I know that Southwest Airlines is now going to, or soon is going to, assigned seating, which stinks because the best part about Southwest Airlines is you can pick whatever seat you want, right? And I remember this couple one time, they tried to circumvent the boarding order. The rules are that if you are traveling with somebody and you have two different boarding positions and you want to board together, you have to board with the person with the lower boarding priority. Mm-hmm. So if Derek is A1 and I'm B15 and we want to board together, Derek's got to board with me. I can't board with him. And this couple, they tried to get on the plane too early. And the gate attendant said, I have to maintain the integrity of the boarding order. And I gave that man a standing ovation. So shout out to you, random Southwest gate attendant. I know that's not going to matter anymore, but yeah. I digress.
Okay, I will digress while we're on the digressing tangent. I Googled, why is South Florida called South Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
And there is an answer.
The university, there is an answer. You mean?
The University of South Florida, which is located in Tampa, which is obviously not in South Florida.
Mm-mm.
Tampa is west? I guess there's no
central.
Western Florida. It's skinny. It's central, right? It's basically two and a half hours west of Orlando, where I grew up. And I grew up in Orlando. I never knew this. Here it is. It was, at the time, the southernmost state university in Florida when it was founded in 1957. And because the name was promoted to foster legislative support, while the institution is located in Tampa, not in South Florida, its creation was tied to the broader concept of forming a university system for the Southern Peninsula. And the name South Florida also encompasses areas including Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So I guess if you know, you know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, still don't make no sense.
Makes zero sense. Craig.
Makes zero sense.
Craig on our text line says, Derek, do you think the Titans starting the season on the road with less personal distractions will be a good thing?
It can be, but you're going up against a very good team in the Denver Broncos. I tend to like traveling, especially the first game of the season because, you know, it is getting away and no distractions and your regimen is set, and there's no downtime. So I would rather, first game of the season or I didn't mind traveling, especially, like the Titans are with a young team, a young quarterback, because even though you get the benefit of the crowd not being as loud at home, I think the expectation and the pressure is a little bit more when you're at home that first game of the season and you're a rookie quarterback or a young team. I think when you go on the road, the mentality, as it is with any, team, whether it be baseball, basketball, hockey, when you go on the road, it's what? Us against them. Us against the world, and you take on that mentality. I think at home, at times it can be a little bit, the pressure can be, at times, sometimes too much to bear for a young guy when he's playing at home.
One texter, Ryan, on our conversation with Micah Parsons, this isn't the question, but I do want to respond to it. First of all, he actually wants to respond to your take on the Cowboys from earlier. Ryan says, the star isn't crap and won't be until Jerry passes. Also, Micah isn't as good as he thinks he is. Dude acts like a Hall of Fame player, yet he has never finished a season top five in sacks. Ryan, if you're listening, Micah Parsons is one of two NFL players to have at least 12 sacks in each of his first four seasons. The other is Reggie White.
If you don't...
So I think Micah Parsons can talk if he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own. But when you watch Parsons, he is hands down. Outside of Myles Garrett, he is probably the best DN in the National Football League.
Derek, one texter wants to know if another Derek Henry, will reach 2,000 rushing yards again this year.
He will be close. I can't see Derek Henry getting injured. That hasn't been a part of his makeup. He got injured one time, foot injury, soft tissue injuries, no knee injuries, nothing like that, that can sort of derail a running back's career. He's been probably the healthiest running back out there, within the last 10 years. You know, because prior to his him breaking his foot, I don't think he missed any games. Now, he wasn't a complete starter, but when he became a starter, outside of breaking his foot, I don't think he's missed a game. If I'm not, I could be wrong on that one, but I don't think he missed a game.
He has played in all 17 games and started all 17 games each of the past two seasons, started 16 in 2022. Did he miss one because he was held out for rest or something?
No, was 2022 a 17-game season? I don't think it was.
2022 was a 16, was yeah. a 17-game season.
Was it 17?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
17 games started in 2021.
So it must have been the last game of the season they yeah. probably held him out. But no, yeah, I think Derrick Henry, once again, I think he's going to be a 1,500-yard-plus back. Will he get to 2,000? I'm not I'm not going to say he will not, because he was 200 from getting it, well, 100 and something from getting it last year. So I think he will rush for over 1,500 yards, but will he get 2,000? If he gets 2,000, man, just put him in the Hall of Fame right now.
Matt on our text line has a question that I need your historical context. He says, Matt says, I always believed the Titans would have won the Super Bowl in 2000 if Tony Siragusa had not put all his weight pouncing on Steve McNair. I was wondering if you thought that one instant was as critical as I did.
That play, I think they even talked about that play. Because they outlawed that play, I think, after that year.
Now, fill me in, because I don't remember this.
Well, it's a play where, you know, the defensive – well, Siragusa was known for this, and bigger guys, where when they're tackling you, it's almost like they just let their body go limp and it just fall. And what they're trying to do is, if they get you in sort of this awkward position, by the way them landing on you, they're landing on your shoulder and hurt you. You're out either a play, maybe a couple plays, or you may be out the game. But that play was outlawed, and I think it still is outlawed in the NFL, because it was injuring quarterbacks. But listen, a lot, if a few more things would have went our way, maybe we could have won. I mean, we had a damn good team that 98-99 year. Then we came back in that 2001 year. We had a damn good team. If we don't, you know, if we don't have an interception, you know, we win. If we can make a field goal, we win. Do we win the Super Bowl? I trust. I believed in our team. I think we would have. But there's a bunch of what ifs, you know, because it wasn't just that play. It was missed opportunities in that game that we just didn't, you know, make do on. Or opportunities we didn't make do on.
I think if that particular game, that Ravens game, were played 10 times,
we would have won.
I really, at least eight, I think, honestly. I mean, that, and the Ravens were really, really good. But in that stadium, mm-hmm. right, I'd feel differently if the game was in Baltimore, right? But mm-hmm. 10 times in Nashville, I think you guys would have won eight.
Yeah.
That was a freakish way to lose a game.
Yeah.
Freakish.
Let's end on this. Derek, hearing you talk about Derrick Henry makes me miss the old Titans roster. Since he left, I've lost interest. Can you convince me to get my interest back in the Titans this year?
The quarterback.
Two words.
The quarterback. And
or Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. And what they appear to have done with the offensive line, from what we've seen. Because, what was the caller? Who was the texter? What was his name?
No name.
Oh, no name. Well, no name.
Last Wait, do we year- need to come up with one? What was we have to do this, Adam. We did this with D-Mace and I. When there's an unnamed texter, we have to give that person a name. And we have to come up with a fun theme. We did superheroes one time. We need to come up with, like, I don't know, cartoon characters. Or
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I call him Leonardo.
How about Snagglepuss?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
That works.
All right. Well, Snagglepuss. One, the quarterback. Two, I think the offensive line. You know, because I'm sure you know what this offensive line looked like over the last 2.5-3 seasons, and it wasn't good. And it seems like they have sort of turned the corner, what we coined as a professional offensive line now. They have a professional offensive line now. So with a professional offensive line, I think that gives this offense an opportunity to be a professional offense. Let's just say that. I'm not going to tell you where they rank. I hope they're ranked higher than what they were last year. But when you have a professional NFL offensive line, you can have a professional NFL offense.
By the way, Snagglepuss's real name is JJ. I'm gonna call you Snagglepuss.
Why did they call him Snagglepuss then if his name was JJ?
Well, JJ texted in after we called him Snagglepuss. I guess he didn't like that.
Oh, okay. Why would he not like that?
Thanks, JJ.
How do you not like Snagglepuss?
We're gonna
go with Snagglepuss. Yeah, why you didn't like Snagglepuss, JJ?
Yeah, come on. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek about to get up on out of here, starting his Labor Day weekend early.
Whoop, whoop.
Where are you going?
Parts unknown.
Mm.
Parts unknown.
Fair enough.
Parts unknown. No, I'm going to Georgia. Georgia.
Parts Georgia?
Unknown. Georgia.
Well.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Willie and I will have you covered tomorrow.
Georgia?
As we help you get into your Labor Day weekend, Willie and I, we may even mix some Nashville Predators into the conversation.
My sister's in Georgia, so sisters, nieces, and nephews.
Very nice.
Cousins.
Very nice. Always good to spend time with family. My family was here over the weekend for my son's birthday. My parents came in. My in-laws came in. My in-laws stayed at our house, which is not a big house. So it was four adults, two 3/4-year-olds, and two dogs. And I love them. I'm glad they came. When they left, I said, hey. And it's nothing against them. I love them to death, but I need my space.
You ain't got
to
go home, but you got to get out of here.
That's what I'm saying. So Willie and I will have you covered tomorrow, as I said. We even may mix some local professional hockey team conversation into the mix because, of course, it's football season, but the Predator season is right around the corner too. So we'll mix in some hockey as well as, of course, talk about college football and the Tennessee Titans. A lot has happened on our show today. Rick Barnes signed a lifetime contract as Tennessee's head basketball coach.
Now win a championship.
Let's get to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Let's get to a Final Four.
And I like Rick Barnes.
I like Rick Barnes, too. I think he's a good coach. Yes. But the never been to a – wait, has he been – he's been to one Final Four, right? With Texas?
Yeah, at Texas.
But he hasn't been to a Final Four with Tennessee?
No.
Okay. So hopefully he can get to a Final Four with Tennessee now that he has a lifetime contract. And, of course, the biggest news, gentlemen, Micah Parsons – somebody brought it to my attention that this morning on Get Up, who was it? Michael Irvin said, "This will never happen." I want to find the exact the quote from Michael Irvin because I do think this is quite funny. Willie, this is the perfect example of a freezing cold take. Micah Parsons said on NFL Live today, "I guarantee Micah Parsons is not going anywhere." That was tweeted at 3:59 p.m.
by Michael Irvin.
One minute later, Ian Rappaport with the tweet that Micah Parsons had been traded.
I thought he was in the know with Jerry Jones. Shouldn't Jerry have told him this? Hey, listen.
So that's why it's funny. But I think Michael Irvin was probably not alone.
Yeah.
I think I probably was of that mindset that just there was too much they would have had to have lined up. And the fact that the Cowboys are willing to take a year where they don't have Micah Parsons and they don't have anything to show for it right now. They have to wait all the way until next spring for the 2026 NFL draft before they even draft the guy, the first guy that they get in that draft. So in the meantime, that's a big gap to fill.
Well, certainly so Jerry Jones hopes.
On the dollar. It's pennies on the dollar,
yes,
of course,
compared to what that guy is worth, in my opinion.
Well, certainly Jerry Jones hopes that the trade of Parsons has a similar effect to that of the trade of Herschel Walker in the late 80s, which the Cowboys used to build the rosters that won three Super Bowls.
But the Cowboys basically got the world for that.
They got
trade.
More.
Yeah, they got
and
so
Herschel
much.
Herschel Walker at that time of his career was not the same player as Micah Parsons. That wasn't prime Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker was – how old was he when that trade happened?
He had been to the USFL. He had been with the Cowboys. I mean, he had
He was just coming off
there.
I think he had been with Dallas a few years.
Walker was 27 at the time of the trade. Parsons is 26.
All right, maybe not quite as old as I thought, because he did come into the league young. Remember, because he left Georgia early, but still, he had a lot of mileage.
Well, Dallas
obviously didn't do a whole lot for the Vikings.
No, not at all. That was that trade they did not win at all. The Vikings, meaning.
No.
And I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that Dallas. I don't know how the Cowboys will do this season.
I'm curious what the betting lines are for the Cowboys now that Micah Parsons has been traded. I'm sure I can
because
find
I'm
that.
Trying to think of someone that can. No one can do what Micah Parsons does or did. But do they have enough players that can, collectively give you some of what Michael Parsons gave you?
I do have the numbers via DraftKings Sportsbook. The Packers have improved their Super Bowl odds from plus 1,800 to plus 1,400 after the trade. The Cowboys, who had long odds, went from plus 5,500 to plus 6,500.
Even longer.
Yes.
Wow. He knew. I think you make this trade because you know that your player has dug in. He is not going anywhere. And those podcasts that you did, getting on Stephen A's podcast and Michael Irvin, that didn't help you not one bit. It just made it worse because you start to talk about the player and then you start to talk about the agent and all this stuff involved. Circumventing the agent, talking to the players. Like, after a while, man, the star doesn't have the shine on the players like it used to. It may still have some of it with companies, but when it comes to players, until Dallas start winning championships again, that star will never shine again.
One texter just sent in a screenshot of an ad on Facebook. Do your favorite foods cause gout? Wrong program, Texter. You meant that for the morning show.
Well, he believed they will get it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, there is a text waiting for you. I don't have gout. Derek doesn't have gout.
No.
Willie doesn't have gout. David doesn't have gout. Joe Rexroad has gout.
Yeah.
So wrong program, Texter.
Send something about a pillow or something.
I'm reading Teresa Walker's story on the Associated Press about Cam Ward being among the seven Titans captains for this season. And here is a graph. Ward is one of seven Titans voted as team captains for the season, and Coach Brian Callahan said the vote was pretty close to unanimous for Ward. My question, who held out?
Yeah, who was the one person that
held out? Pretty close to unanimous. It wasn't unanimous, according to Brian Callahan. Pretty close to unanimous, so who didn't vote for Cam Ward?
Yeah, I want to know.
Just the fact that it was close to unanimous is noteworthy for me. If I were a veteran player, I would have to be pretty impressed with a rookie to consider voting for a rookie, even if he were the quarterback. That's how I would look at it. I don't know how people feel today. I'm from a different generation, but I don't think that was a shoe-in, right? If it's the players, the players know.
Because a lot of the best player doesn't always end up the captain. The best player on a team may not end up the captain. Okay, so in this case, is Cam Ward the best player on the team? Probably at this point, no. But I think he showed enough. Because you're not getting named a captain until you show those veteran guys that you're about your business, that you're capable of leading. Because essentially it's a 30-year-old or a 35-year-old saying, I'm going to be led by a 22-year-old or a 23-year-old. The only way that is going to happen is you show me that you can do it. And Cam obviously has shown those veteran guys, those 32, 33, 34-year-old guys, that he's capable of leading. So that's a good thing.
I just want to take a moment again I know some Dallas sports fans, and man, to lose Luka Doncic and Micah Parsons, two of the best players in their respective leagues, at the same time, in the primes of their careers, That is something, man. Now, again, I know that the Mavericks sort of made up for it by
winning the lottery and drafting Cooper Flagg. So I guess this means that the Cowboys will somehow find themselves with the worst record in the NFL. Arch Manning, come on down to Dallas. Everything will be okay.
So they traded away Luka Doncic.
Yes.
They trade away Michael Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next? Who's on Dallas Stars they can trade away?
Well, the Dallas Stars, Willie, you'll appreciate this, did tweet that they have not traded Mikko Rantanen.
Exactly. I was about to say, okay. Who can they trade away?
They said he's still a member of the Dallas Stars. So.
Oh, man.
Hey, the Mets will take Jacob DeGrom back if that's something the Rangers would be interested in, but I don't think that the trade deadline has passed, so. That ship has sailed.
Hey, since all the Dallas Stars are giving, that mean Dallas are giving away all their stars. Dallas Stars, who you gonna give up? Which one of your marquee players you gonna give up? It's just a trend, you know. And then who's next? What other Dallas team is gonna give up something?
Paige Beckers.
Yeah, she's next.
They
watch
just
yourself, Paige.
So they might just want to trade her away right now.
That is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. But that'll do it for us today. Derek Mason, have a lovely long Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Willie Donick and I will be back with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock to take you into your Labor Day weekend. Chad Withrow will join us on the program. We'll talk college football. We'll talk Titans. We're even going to talk some Nashville Predators as well. And we will do that all starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful weekend. Because I'm not going to see you or you're not going to hear me tomorrow. But weekend. I love you. The show loves you. Peace.